Beast OCR proudly presents BeastNet Podcast, sponsored in part by GH Under's Performance Based Layers and supported by the OCR community. Here we discuss all things OCR related. Welcome to BeastNet.
Hello everyone, this is Mike here with the BeastNet. I got a different episode for you today. Normally I call someone, we're on the phone. I've been having some issues with that recording. So I'm trying what I've always wanted to do anyway, is have like a little almost studio set up in my house. And this episode is going to be a fun episode, and I'm going to have you get to know me a little bit more. And also, I've got my son here, Benton, for any of you that haven't met him yet. Yo. And we're going to talk about him and his journey to get a trifecta this year. So how you doing, Benton?
Good.
Good. Yeah, he's going to be a talker, I can tell. So what got you into what made you start doing these races? Like any of them. I mean, what was your first? Your first was a Survivor, right?
Yeah, I think the Survivor was my first mud run.
Yeah.
And then my first actual obstacle course race that, like, wasn't, you know, lame, was Battle Frog, which you never got to do
because
I did it in your place.
You did. I had a broken foot, and Benton did the Battle Frog in my place. Because I couldn't, obviously. How was that one? That was your first, like, real obstacle course, and you got to do it without me. I mean, it was you, yeah. Stevie.
Christina. I'm having a hard time remembering who else was there.
There was a few.
Yeah.
But how was that? How was that for you?
It was pretty hard. It was the first time I really had to deal with a lot of my fear of heights. And since then, I've gotten a lot better at dealing with that.
He has. So, continue?
Yeah. I don't really know what else to say about it. It was pretty hard, but not as hard as some of the other things I have done since.
Yeah, and I mean, that was kind of the thing, is I was kind of upset because I didn't get to do that Battle Frog, but that was literally like 2 weeks after I broke my foot, and so I gave Benton my entry, and he got to do it, and, you know, he enjoyed it. You were, what, 14 at that time?
I think so.
Yeah, because it was 2 years ago, and he's 16 now, if you do the math. But, so...
I think it was actually 3 years ago.
No, it was 2 years ago. It was 2016 when I broke my foot.
Okay, yeah.
Because 15 was the first year that I did Spartan and got my trifecta. So, and then after Battle Frog, you did Warrior without me.
Yeah. Who did I do that one with? I think I did it with
Stevie. That one was Stevie again. Yeah. That was Stevie again. Stevie was kind of your race buddy that summer because I couldn't race.
Yeah.
Because you did Warrior and then you did the Spartan.
Yeah.
The Washougal.
Yeah, I did the Washougal.
How was that?
With Stevie. At the time, that was probably the hardest thing I had ever done, and the first thing to really trump that was the Super earlier this year.
Yeah. Well, you did, because that was your first year of Washougal. Then you did Washougal again last year with me.
Yeah.
And that was the first time you guys did
it with
me.
Did Seattle.
Super.
Yeah.
And that was the famous... part where you told me to F off before we went up the one hill.
Yeah.
And I got it. I mean, for anybody who did that race, that Seattle race was brutal. I mean, would you agree that it was, the Super was harder than the Beast?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, that was crazy. That was a crazy race. And that was probably the hardest part with me talking him into doing the Beast. Was that Super was so brutal, and he's like, there's no way I can do another, you know, 4 or 5 miles on top of that. So what, you did the Super with me this year, and then you did Washougal again. So what made you decide to finally do the Beast?
Everyone was encouraging me, and like everyone was saying it would be easy for me if I'd done the Super back in April, and it was easier than the Super. Yeah. And I, a little bit of it was like the idea of finally getting my trifecta after, like, 3 years.
Yep.
And, like, that sort of motivated me. And, yeah.
It's awesome. I mean, and I'm so proud of you for doing it. I mean, it's... You're 16 years old and you already have your first trifecta. So, that was awesome. I mean, and it was awesome to do it with you. I got to do all three races with you this year.
Yeah.
So, which was awesome. So, what are your plans next year? What do you want to do next year?
I don't know. I might do the same races again next year. Because I've never really traveled for a race before.
Not yet, no.
Yeah.
We haven't made you travel yet. So, and next year I think it's going to be pretty much the same travel for me as it was this year. So I can try and actually do next year what I tried to do this year. And what I did last year. Last year I got the 3x trifecta, but this year I couldn't because, well, Hurricane Lane. Stupid lane. But, so, what would you say to someone who is thinking about doing these races, but is afraid to?
Well, if people like me and my dad can do it, like, basically anyone can, like...
Not sure if that's an insult or not, but okay.
Hey, I'm insulting both of us at the same time. It's okay.
He gets that from me.
Just, like, find something to motivate you and just keep rolling on and just do it. Like, what's your excuse, you know?
Yeah, exactly. What's your excuse? Nice. So, do you enjoy it? Do you love it?
Yeah.
Do you? That's good. What did you think? Because we just did Warrior, last weekend? What did you think of Warrior this year? This was your third? No, because you didn't do it last year, but you did the year before.
Yeah.
So this was your second time doing Warrior. What did you think of the new location?
It was... I don't remember too much from the first Warrior I did.
Yeah, he takes a lot of hits to the head.
Ha. I usually protect my head, but yeah. my head's basically the only thing I don't hit.
It was harder. This one was harder. It had a lot more hills. Normally, you're used to Warrior being a flat, easy course. It's considered one of the easier ones around here. The way they did it this time with the hill and with everything else, I mean, the first mile was almost straight uphill.
Yeah.
So the hills, everything else, it made it a much better, enjoyable course for me. It made it more difficult. I have issues sometimes on, like, when Survivor moved and became so easy that, you know, I could have slept through it. There was a few of them that have done that, where they went from being a little bit difficult to so easy it was ridiculous. Mud Factor, I ran that one in 32 minutes. So anybody who knows me knows that 32 minutes for me to do a 5K with obstacles is ridiculous. Me doing a 5K by itself in 32 minutes is ridiculous. Yeah. So, yeah, Mud Factor, I mean, it became so easy, it wasn't worth the money. So it was good to see Warrior step up. I was happy to see Warrior step up and make it a little bit more of a difficult race. One thing I kind of wanted to do with this episode too is kind of talk about, I mean, I've mentioned over a few times kind of the path that I've taken to get here. And I kind of wanted to go on that a little bit more. I know I've mentioned in the past, you know, I started my Spartan races started with Montana in 15. But what some people don't know is my obstacle course actually started Gladiator. Was my first obstacle course race. And that was back in 2010, I believe. 2010 or 2011, one of those years. That was my first obstacle course race, and I loved it. But I couldn't find anybody else that wanted to really do them with me, so I never really continued doing it a whole lot until, you know, a few years later, I started doing Mud Factor with a few friends, and I did the Hell Run, and I did some of those, you know, some of the ones that aren't even, you know, Hell Run isn't even around anymore. Did some of those, and started to enjoy it, and it wasn't until, you know, 2015 when I got hooked up with the Beasts, you know, right before Montana. that I really, you know, found my people, so to say, and started doing the races even more. Because really, Spartan started with me as I went with some friends to the Washougal race in 2014. But I couldn't race because I'd had an injury to my hand. So I just volunteered and got the free race. And I actually met Joe DeCina for the first time there. I was working with the vendor that sold the huge, like, turkey leg drumsticks. These things were ginormous. And Joe DeCina came over and talked to us, and I didn't realize who it was until after we walked away. But yeah, so I did that, and then I used that race code. Me and Amber decided we wanted to take a weekend away, and we went to Montana so that I could do the Montana race with that free race code. And then we volunteered that Friday before the race, before the Beast, and got two more free races. And as I've said before, Montana was a brutal course. That first year, I saw like mile marker like 17 or 18, and I wanted to punch someone in the face. It was horrible. I mean, I guess horrible isn't the right word. It was challenging. It was more challenging than I was ready for at that time. But it was kind of one of those things, anyone who knows me, once I start something, I just kind of keep going. But that race, if it hadn't been for Drew and hadn't been for Jason, I probably would have quit. I met them probably about 4 or 5 hours in, and I was destroyed. I was done. I didn't want to do it anymore. My knee was killing me, you know, and I ran into, you know, Drew and Jason and just started talking to him. I recognized, you know, the Beast logo on Drew's shirt and just started talking to him, and they kind of kept me going. From what I've heard from Drew on one of the other, you know, ones that we did this episodes, he said I kind of did the same for him and Jason, just kind of kept them going. And it was, honestly, when I finished, I didn't want to do it anymore. I'm like, this is it. This is going to be my one and only Spartan medal. I don't want to do this anymore. This was stupid. But really, by the time we were on the car ride home, I was, you know, looking up to see when the next races were because, well, I earned 2 free races, so I might as well use them. And then that year, I ended up doing Washougal, and then that was the first year that they did the Super in Seattle, but it was in October. The first year in Seattle, the Super was in October. So I did that Super and the Hurricane Heat that day. That was my first Hurricane Heat and my first Super to end my 2015 season with the Trifecta and Hurricane Heat. And then come in April, all of a sudden they moved the Super to April. And then I did that Super and then the Hurricane Heat there. And that's where Dingo was one of the members. I mean, he was with us. He was one of the participants. He wasn't the cadre or anything. He was one of the participants. And that's where the Pretty Mike came from. The whole night, Dingo kept calling me Pretty Mike. And that was a time when we did it was like a 4-hour bucket carry. It was horrible. And we went up the big hill that got shut down because people fell down it and dumped rocks on that hill. It was interesting, you know. And then and that was my last Hurricane Heat. I never did one after that. It's not something I was really into. It wasn't something I enjoyed. I think maybe if I can finally lose this weight and do like I keep trying to, I think I might change my mind on that. Because I felt like the whole time during that Hurricane Heat that I was that guy. I was that guy that was holding the rest of the group up. That was one of the few times, though, I didn't wait to go under the dunk wall. I just dunked and went. Because my team was, I knew everybody else during the Hurricane Heat was doing the planks until I finished. So I just dove underneath and went. And that was one of those ones, too, that a lot of people don't remember is I think there was 2 or 3 dunk walls in a row.
Oh. Wow.
It was insane. It was a crazy... It was a fun race, though. I mean, as it always is. And that year, 2016, was obviously the year I broke my foot. I did Seattle both days and then did Montana both days. And that was also the 13-hour Montana year.
Oh, yeah, because you guys had a picnic?
We did not have a... picnic. Well, okay, yes, we did have a picnic. There was a picnic on that race, but there was both Stevie and Jody were hurt. Stevie rolled her ankle and Jody had hurt her hip. And there was a point where we stopped for a minute to give them a break. And basically, of course, once we sat down for a second to eat something and whatever, of course, that's when Brandon showed up and accused us of having a picnic. It wasn't really a picnic. We just stopped for a minute to take a break and have something to eat. We needed fuel. And then that was also the race where we caught Emily, who was, she was broken. Definitely broken. Shuffled her feet and giggled for pretty much 4 miles. Doesn't remember half the stuff that happened during that trip, during those 4 miles. She was broken mentally, but we got her through the race. And there was a huge change in Emily after that. She changed everything, her diet, her exercise, and she lost a lot of weight and came back so much stronger the next year, which is a huge, I mean, it was huge to see. I love Em, so I mean, to see her do that was amazing. Then later that year, we did I broke my foot. It was a little bit after Montana.
Yeah.
I broke my foot, and it wasn't a small break. Like I've said before, if anyone, I have pictures of the x-rays, it was not pretty. It was heartbreaking. I was getting into the shape I wanted to be. I lost a bunch of weight. I was down close to 200 pounds, which had been a while since I'd been that low. And it was heartbreaking to have that much work, and then all of a sudden I broke my foot. And I made the mistake of, well, my foot's broke, I can't do anything. I should have made a better decision and said, okay, my foot's broke. What can I do that doesn't involve my foot to keep myself from gaining the weight back? And I didn't. So, since I did that, then I've gained a bunch of the weight back, which is what I'm fighting now. And then that was the year that you kind of took over a lot of my runs.
Yeah.
You did, you know, Vital Frog in my place. You did, you know, Washougal for the first time in my place that year.
Yeah, and that was when I met Dingo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Dingo's cool. I love Dingo. So yeah, that was fun. That was a fun summer, not really. But so, you know, broke my foot. That's also, you know, we did Hawaii, and Hawaii was, that was the year, you know, my first DNF, my only DNF was Hawaii, and you know, everyone's like, you were in a boot. I'm like, I know, but it was still a DNF, and it still bothered me a lot. Probably the hardest thing I went through in racing was that DNF. Like, literally, I finished and I didn't want to be around anybody. And anybody who's been to the Hawaii course knows there's this, if you walk down the hill, there's a beach about a quarter of a mile away. And I just walked to the beach. I'm like, I'm done. I don't want to be around people. I don't want to hear that. The noise of the metals chinking together and clinking. You know what I'm talking about. You've been to a race, the Spartan race, when you got the metal hitting the pie piece as they walk, was the worst sound I've ever heard that day. It was horrible because I knew I wasn't going to hear that sound myself. And I walked down the end of the beach and pretty much tripped down to my underwear and jumped in the ocean. And just did not want to talk to people, didn't want to do anything. My first post on Facebook after that was, because I knew people were following me on, you know, the Spartan thing, was I did not finish. I didn't want to talk about it, you know, and that was it. You know, so it's kind of one of those, I wanted everyone to know I didn't finish, but I didn't want to talk about it. I didn't want to deal with it. I pretty much told Brandon Chin at that point, I'm like, I don't think I'm racing tomorrow. I'm done. My weekend's over. I don't want to deal with it. And Brandon basically flat out told me, he's like, fine, if you're not running, I'm not running. And I'm like, well, you're a prick at this point. So I decided to go back and I did the super. The super was, it was brutal still, but I was able to get through it. We got to a point where I knew that at the pace I was moving, we were never going to get back in time to be able to do the sprint. And that's when I told everyone to leave me, just go. The hardest thing was convincing them to do it. Brandon and Elise and Stevie and Jody and everyone that was with us was like, nope, we're not leaving you. And I'm like, you need to go. Get out of here. Because if you don't go, you're not going to make it in time to do, you know, to do the sprint. So I finally convinced them to leave, and I finished the race by myself. I ran into Laura Messner, which was really cool. It was the first time I met her. I was right there at the spear throw, because I'll be honest, I missed it. One of the few times I missed, And Laura looks at me and she says, no one saw it, just do it again. And I did it again, I hit it, which was awesome. So that was great. I mean, it was a hard weekend to DNF and to come away with. I was hoping to come away with all three medals. I came away with one, which was not my plan. And I still double trifected in 2016.
And then we got evicted.
Yes, and we got evicted. Actually, we got evicted before we left.
Yeah.
We knew about it, but we had to move as soon as we got back, which was awesome with a broken foot. But honestly, I like our new house a lot better, so it worked out in the end.
Yeah.
I mean, positive, it worked out in the end. I like our new house better. It appears Benton's doing so much better at Rogers than he did at Hazen.
So, I never actually went to Hazen.
Well, McKnight, Renton, whatever, Renton. Ghetto. But, sorry for anybody who lives in Renton, but ghetto. And
yeah, and moving gave us a chance to meet some of the beasts.
Yeah,
for the first time.
That was the first time I met James Tinko. Never met him before, and Brandon just drug him along so he could help us move. Jesse helped us move. Christina was here. I mean, that's what I love about the Beast. It's just one of those things that's like, hey, guys, we've got to move. I need some help. And Brandon and Jody and Christina and Jesse and James, never even met him, show up. You know, it was awesome. And that's why I love my Beast. Is I know in a, unlike, they're real family. There's a family you're born with, and then there's a family you choose. And so far right now, the family I choose is the Beasts. And they're the family that I know will be there. If my life could fall apart tomorrow, and I know the Beasts would help me out and get me back on track. Which is awesome. It's awesome. Yeah, so, you know, like I said, 2016 was, that was kind of my year. You know, ended with the Seattle Beast. I did do the Seattle Beast to get my second trifecta. That was the first race. I was trying to think. I don't think I had a boot on during the Beast. I think I'd had the boost. I think I was able to wear a shoe for the first time, like right then. I can't remember for sure. Or maybe I didn't. I don't remember for sure. I can't remember if I wore a boot on that Beast or not. I do know a lot of people questioned, because I was signed up to do the Tough Mudder. I was going to volunteer and then race. And I ended up not doing it. And part of the reason was because they finally took me out of the boot. So I must have done Seattle in a boot. I don't remember. No, I don't think I did. I think Seattle was after the Tough Mudder. I don't remember, but I didn't do Tough Mudder because it was literally like a week after they took me out of the boot. So I didn't have the boot. In Hawaii, I had the boot on to protect my foot. You know, so if my foot took a jostle, got hit or whatever, I had the boot there to protect it. And I didn't want to do a race without it. I was afraid, you know, I didn't want to re-injure that. It was a pretty bad injury. I didn't want to redo it. So that I didn't do that. But 2016, it was a tough year because of the broken foot. But my Beasts were there to help me. 2017 was better. You know, it was a better year. I had fun. I enjoyed it. I got three times trifecta. I went to Hawaii. I still did not get all three done. I got really, really sick on the Beast in Hawaii. Actually, going back a little bit, Montana, I tore a muscle in my pec and my bicep. So I didn't run the sprint the next day. I just did the Beast. But it was fun. I mean, I got my triple trifecta. I did that. I quit smoking in July of that year, right before we left for Hawaii, which amazingly, they don't lie. You gain some weight after you quit smoking. It sucks. But, you know, it is what it is. So, yeah, that was an interesting year. Nothing really special happened after that. It was just kind of, I just kind of did all the races and did it. There was the Beast in Seattle, though. That was special because of, not me, it was special because of Christine and Serena. Christina never done a full Beast, and that was her first one, and she had issues. Chris had some issues during that race. There was a couple times she was ready to just give up and walk away, and we convinced her to keep going, and she finished it, and I've never seen someone so emotional and cry and everything like she did when she finished that race. It was amazing to see. That was an awesome feeling to get her through that. So let's take a quick break and hear from our sponsor. So it'll be a small pause and then we'll be back.
Grays Harbor Unders makes the performance-based layer clothing you want and need. Whether you work, hunt, hike, fish, run, or ride in the great outdoors, if you work up a sweat, Grays Harbor Unders are for you because their unique dual-layer fabric removes moisture from your body and keeps your skin dry, even when the outer layer is completely wet. It's a base layer like no other. Get you some at ghunders.com. That's ghunders.com for the best performance-based layer you'll ever wear.
All right, we're back from break. So I know I've been blabbing on and on about kind of my history with racing. Spartans, I mean, I've done the other ones. This year was a fun year. You know, once this year started, me and Benton, we did, we've done a few. We've done the Spartans, obviously.
Yeah.
I got my double trifecta again this year. No triple because of, once again, Hawaii. You know, stupid lane. But we did some other races I hadn't done before. I did terrain race for the first time this year. I didn't get to do rugged. Rugged was really fun. I did that last year. It was a fun race. But I didn't get to do that this year because Remlinger Farms decided that they weren't going to have obstacle course races there anymore. So rugged didn't have a location. Didn't have a venue. So they didn't come back this year. But we did terrain twice. We did terrain up in Monroe, which was a little bit interesting. It was on a track, a race car track, which made it interesting because of the asphalt. And I don't know, I mean, my Innovate Talons are amazing for being in the mud and stuff like that, but trying to do a race car track and on asphalt, they're not so hot. They're not so good at that. What did you think of terrain, Ben? The Monroe terrain.
It was fun. I met Trevor, was his name, I think.
I think it was Travis.
I don't know. sorry.
He's as bad as Nate with names as I am, so.
I'm usually pretty good. And I met a few really cool people on that race. It was a little bit challenging, too. There was a few obstacles that I had some trouble with. Like the cargo net that was suspended above the ground. I had some trouble with that.
But you're like guardian angel that pops up all the freaking time at those races, showed up right at the right time. So, just so you know, his guardian angel is Jesse, and I don't know what it is, but every time Benton's having problems on an obstacle that's up high with like a cargo net, all of a sudden, bam, there's Jesse, and Jesse's helping him over, and it's like, where did you come from?
So yeah, every race, man.
Yeah, he did it at the last race, the A-frame cargo.
Yeah.
Benton was going, I mean, and for those that know Benton, the first time we did a race together and he was going over the A-frame cargo, it took a while to talk him up and over that. And I'm pretty sure, I think Jesse was there at that one too. And it took a while to talk him up and over. Benton has had issues with heights for a long time. So I've been really proud of him and how he's come along on those, where he's going up and over those without much thought now. So it's pretty good. I mean, at Warrior, he went up and over. It was kind of a slip wall, but it was a slip wall with 2x4s to walk on. You could really just kind of walk right up it.
Yeah.
And Benton went right up and over that without a thought.
Yeah, so, I barely used the rope.
Yeah. So, I mean,
I don't like ropes.
Yeah.
Not really.
Hey, I've got a nice scar on my right here. My right hand.
I think
hand.
That's part of it.
My right hand from the Washougal the first year. I fell down the slip wall 3 times, and when I was sliding down, the rope was underneath my hand, and I got a rope burn that actually cut into my wrist.
Yeah, but, and that first Spartan I did back in Washougal 2016. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was the first time I'd attempted the slip wall, and I slipped. And I avoided hitting my head, but I hit my chest really hard, and it knocked the air right out of me. And ever since then, I've had a lot of trouble, like, with slip walls. Like, psyching myself up to do them.
And that's the hard part on a lot of these. A lot of it's mental. You give yourself, like, a mental, like, mental issues on some of these, and you know, I do it too. I mean, there's a few, like, for me, like I told a lot of people, and anyone who's raced with me knows, one of the hardest obstacles for me to do,
dunk wall.
The easiest, the stupidest, you put your head underwater and you go underneath a wall. Yeah. And it's one of the hardest ones for me to do. I just mentally have a problem putting my head underwater I can't see into.
Yeah. You have the dunk wall, I have the slip wall. I mean, everyone's
got their one obstacle that they, you know, have issues with. I mean, and there's some for me that you'd think I would, but I don't. Like the monkey bars. For whatever reason, I can cruise right through them almost every time. Washougal, I had a problem because they literally, it rained right before I got there.
Yeah.
And I was about halfway through and I grabbed one and it felt like I put my hand in snot. It was so slippery. I just slipped right off, you know. And it was just like, dang it. So, you know, we all have those obstacles. We all have those things, even in life or in races or whatever, where we just mentally, we kill ourselves and we can't do it. So you just got to get past that mental part. I did, this last race we did, the Beast, I went right underneath it. It was one of those. It was me, Jody, and Lisa Ann. And we got there, and me and Lisa were there. We like, Jody, come on. We grabbed hands and all three of us just right under. Didn't even think about it. So I just need to work on doing that every time. Just go right under and just go.
Yeah, and you lost your sunglasses. Again. Like usual.
Shut up. That's why I have like $5 sunglasses when I race. Most times I have a pair of sunglasses that I've had forever that have beat up and scratched and whatever. And I'm like, I was going to throw them out anyway. So I use them for race glasses so that I have. Most time they get pushed up on my head anyway. I don't even know why I wear them. But, and after the first water obstacle, you can't put them on because you can't see through them. And it's not like you can use your shirt to wipe them off. So, yeah, it's one of those things. It's just something I do. So, yeah, that was terrain. That was the first one. What did you think about the second terrain? Down in Olympia.
I don't really remember too much about that one.
You really need to work on your memory.
Yeah,
I mean, do. I don't know if some ginkgo biloba or whatever it is you're supposed to take from memory, because you seem to be losing yours. You've got Alzheimer's at 16. But that one was fun. And the one thing that I really liked about that one was me and JP, who is like the race director at Terrain, we talked multiple times before that race. And I told him one of the big issues I had with Seattle races is they're so flat. This is Washington. We have huge mountains. We have all this stuff. Why do we have all these flat races? Well, apparently JP listened. Because there was so many hills on that thing, I almost wanted to punch him for listening to me. But it was perfect. I mean, it was awesome. I loved it. So that was awesome. And what was cool was literally we'd been at that exact same venue like less than a month earlier.
Yeah.
For Dirty Dash.
A week earlier.
Yeah. For Dirty Dash. So, to see the way that two different race companies use the exact same venue was amazing.
Yeah.
You know, you were expecting it to be, I mean, not to sound bad, but Dirty Dash usually isn't that hard of a race. It's, you know, a lot of mud, and that's how kind of their thing. Just a lot of mud. And Terrain used the exact same location, and it became a hill fest. And it was so weird to see, you know, literally within a couple weeks of itself, two different races with the same venue do so much different. Yeah. But it was the same with Terrain and Olympia and Monroe, was to see the same race do two completely different races. You know, Monroe was a flat, you know, quick race, where Olympia was hills after hills after hills. It was crazy. So we did that one. Like I said, we did Warrior a couple weeks ago. That was a good one. This has been a fun year. This has been a year for me that's kind of been a year of revelation, I guess, for me. I need to pull my head out of my butt and actually start really, you know, hitting the gym and doing what I've been wanting to do. I've used my foot as an excuse for a long time. And I think part of my problem is I kept, you know, I've said it before, I've ran. That was my way of losing weight the last couple times, and my cardio was running. And I can't. not with my foot the way it is. I can't do that as my only cardio. So me and Benton have come up with a plan. We've just got to make sure we wake up in the morning. That's the hard part.
Yeah.
And we're going to start going to the Y in the morning and do cardio for half an hour or so, then jump in the pool for a while, and then jump in the sauna. And the sauna mainly because I plan on doing Hawaii again, and one of the biggest obstacles in Hawaii that everyone forgets about is that humidity. And I figure if I can do breathe in the humid 180 degree thing in the sauna, then I should do better in Hawaii this year and on my breathing. So, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it should be fun. There's going to be a lot more of these episodes, a lot more, you know, Re-Nerdish, that's my other podcast. My brain went the wrong way.
Shameless plug.
Haha. While we're at it, I'm also on a radio show called Comedy of Errors on Friday, or Saturdays at 5 p.m. on NWCZ Radio, which is an internet radio station.
NWCZ.com.
Yeah, there you go. Benton's on there too, but his name is Demon Spawn, and on both Re-Nerdish and Comedy of Errors, my name is Brandon Valentine. So there's shameless plugs for my other projects.
Yep.
The other thing that's fun about, you know, the whole beast and something I don't mention a whole lot is doing these podcasts. You know, I meet a lot of people that talk to me about how much they love these podcasts and how much they listen, and I don't think about it that much. I'll be honest with you. I very rarely listen to the podcast. I mean, I'm there. I'm speaking. I was there when it was recorded. The ones I usually listen to are like ones Adam does or something, or I'll have somebody else, a guest do a podcast for me, you know. And then I'll listen to those just because, you know, I'm not in it and I don't want to hear my own voice. I'm my own worst critic. If I listened to every episode, they would be like 2 minutes long because I would cut out pretty much everything I say because I think I sound like an idiot.
Yeah.
But hey, what are you agreeing that I sound like an idiot or that that's how my brain works? That is how my brain works. I do comedy, and that's one of the problems I have with my comedy is I'll go back and listen to them so I can try and see how my jokes worked, and I just pick apart everything I did wrong. I'm my own worst critic. I've always been that way. So the podcasts are fun. It's one of those things. Adam came to me in 2017. In Montana, and asked me how, if there was something I wanted to do within the group, that I was, I'm considered one of the OG beasts, and, you know, if there's something I wanted to do, and I was like, what am I gonna do? You know, I don't have any talents that I could think of. You know, I don't have any talents that I can think of, and I don't know why you'd want me to do anything. I mean, no one's gonna listen to me, you know. And Adam's like, no, man, you're a leader. Everyone, you know, people look up to you. And I'm like, but why? You know, I never see that myself. I even have a joke in my comedy where I talk about, you know, I was a manager, and I'm like, yes, look at me. That's exactly what you think about in a manager, Fat Spicoli. But I mean, it's. I just didn't think of that there was anything that I could contribute to this group. And it took about 6 or 7 months before me and Adam finally decided on, hey, you know, I do podcasts, I do radio shows. Maybe I should do a podcast for Beast, you know, for the Beast. And we came up with the BeastNet because eventually we would like this to grow and become a network of podcasts and maybe have some other people do podcasts, you know, but that's something in the future. I mean, that's really kind of my story. I've never really completely, like, laid it out like that. But I just kind of thought maybe some people might be interested. Probably not, but, you know, you never know. And my goal for this next year is, you know, to hit the gym with Benton in the morning. I want to come back. And, you know, for me, it's not usually weight that I think about. It's how I feel. And that's probably my one problem right now. I know I don't feel right. I don't feel like I should. I need to drop. I mean, you know, I keep saying weight, but it's really not just the weight. I need to get healthy, you know. I posted a picture of myself that, you know, from when I was a teenager and said, I know I'll never get back to there again. And a lot of people took that as a negative that I was saying that, you know, oh, I'll never get, you know, there. And it's like, partly I don't want to get back to there. One, in that picture, I'm 150 pounds. And I'm not healthy, though. I'm not a healthy 150 pounds. At that point, I mean, if you look at the picture, there's a cigarette in my hand. I was doing a lot of other things that were not healthy for my body. What I want to do now, my goal now, is to get healthy. I want to, you know, lose the weight I need to, and if it's not weight, lose the fat I need to lose. You know, replace it with muscle. Get back to a healthy body. And come back to these races. I don't ever plan on being a competitor. I don't want to be a competitor. That's not my personality. My personality is to help others and help others get through it. But I also don't want to be the last person anymore. And for people that don't know, if you look at my record, I have been the last person on more than one occasion. Maybe not the last person finishing, but the last person time-wise on multiple occasions. But, you know, people point out that a lot of times I'm helping someone. But this year, there was multiple times that I didn't feel like I was helping. I was going slow because I was helping people. I was going slow because I was slow. And that bothers me. If I'm going slow and it takes me 6 hours to do a sprint, but I'm helping somebody who has never been able to do one and is out of shape and wants to do it anyway, then I'm fine with that. I'm okay with that. But if I take 6 hours to finish a sprint because I'm slow, there's a problem. And that's where I, you know, I'm not saying it took me 6 hours to do a sprint this year. I think it was four.
I don't know.
But it was, you know, and I was helping somebody, so that was fine. But on some of my other races, it took me a long time to get them done, and it was my fault. I felt like I was keeping the group behind. Serena will tell me that I'm full of it, but that, you know, it was both of us. But it felt that way to me, and that's, I don't want to feel that way next year. I want to be able to go and just enjoy the races and have fun. I don't want any more injuries. I want to be able to do what I plan. You know, like Seattle this year, I did do both, you know, this super in the sprint. Montana, I didn't because I didn't feel good after the beast. I think I didn't. What did I don't know. I hurt my knee. I dislocated my shoulder in Montana this year. So I decided not to do the sprint. And that was the second year in a row I had an injury that kept me from doing the second day. In Vegas, I didn't do the sprint. I actually gave my entry to Randy, and I didn't do it because I didn't feel good after the you know, I had problems. I was having problems breathing, and I didn't feel good. So there's a bunch of races where I didn't do what I planned on doing, and it's because of my health and my own choices. So I need to work on those choices and make better choices this coming year. Benton's going to hold me accountable, because if he doesn't, I'm going to punch him in the head.
What?
Don't worry, people. I'm really not going to punch him in the head that hard. He's not 18 yet. I can't do that.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. No. But. All right. Is there anything you want to say to the listeners before we go?
No.
It's a long way to get to know. No. So. All right. Thank you guys for listening to me. I know this has been a weird episode where we've just kind of blabbed on and blah, blah, blah. But it's some stuff I wanted to talk about and just kind of get out there. Yeah. So thank you all for listening. There'll be some fun episodes. I've got some fun episodes planned coming up. I'm working with a few people to get some good ones going. And, yeah, have some fun with this. Keep this going. We're coming up on the 1 year. In November, I believe. I'll have to look at the calendar, find out exactly when we hit our 1 year of Re-Nerdish Podcast. I did the shameless plug again. The 1 year of BeastNet. Re-Nerdish has been going for 2.5 years. But so the 1 year of BeastNet is coming up. It's going to be... I'm building in my brain what I want to do for that 1 year show. I want to have some fun with it. It'll probably be a midweek episode, I think. You know, it'll probably be one of those times where there's two episodes that week, because I'm going to have one that comes out not on Monday, but comes out on the 1 year anniversary. So thank you all for listening, and we will see you next week.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the BeastNet podcast, brought to you by Beast OCR. Don't forget to subscribe and let us know what you think and what you'd like to hear. You can find us on Facebook or at beastocr.com.